You really want God to increase your faith. That's my prayer. And you know, the disciples came to Jesus and said, Lord, increase our faith. And certainly, in this coming year, if the Lord tarries, there are going to be some things to happen to us that's going to require some real mountain moving, sin killing, devil defying faith in the Lord. And so often our faith gets weak and we cave in. And God wants to strengthen our faith this morning. I'm convinced of it. And so the Lord's put a message to share with you today, this message, extraordinary faith for the coming year. Extraordinary faith for the coming year. But so often we cave in again and we, for some reason, we just don't exercise that faith in the Lord Jesus. It reminds me of a story of the man that woke up and he looked in the obituary column every morning before he did anything else. He looked at the obituary column in the paper and he noticed one morning that his name was actually listed in the obituary column. He was surprised. He was shocked. He saw his name and he said, wait a minute. He was absolutely beside himself. He said, this isn't right. And he said, something needs to be done about this. So he picked up the phone and called the newspaper. And he said, I just want you to know, my name was listed in the obituary column and I'm not dead at all. You need to fix this. Newspaper person replied by saying, I tell you what we'll do. We'll put you in the birthing section tomorrow morning and you can have a brand new start, okay? When you start over. And I got a feeling there's some of us that we need to start over. Maybe you're not satisfied. You look back on this 2012. Certainly God's been good. But I'm convinced there's the much more the Lord wants to do in your life and in my life and in our family's lives. And it all hinges on this matter of faith. By the way, let me just put it this way. There's the starting faith, running faith, and finishing faith. Starting faith is by grace are you saved through faith. Not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Starting. You got to have a starting place. And those of you that are here that are children of God, you've been born of the Spirit of God, you have a starting place. But then secondly, the running, if you want to use the term running, there needs to be that faith because the Bible says the just shall live by faith. Let's say that together. The just shall live by faith. Say it again. And not only does need to be that running faith, but praise God, there's faith for the finish. Paul put it this way. He said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. So, when we talk about extraordinary faith, I want you to hear me what I'm fixing to say. Faith does not mean faith in Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Let me just clarify that at first. But faith, hear me now, does not mean everything turns out the way you want it or I want it to turn out. When we begin to pray and ask God to do things in our life, everything does not always turn out like I want it or like you want it. How many believe that? So we just got to get that settled at first. There's some things we've been praying and there's some things that we've been asking God and even recently in my own personal life. I didn't imagine something happened here recently over the last couple of months, and I didn't think it was going to turn out the way it turned out, but it turned out nevertheless the way God wanted it to turn out, and I praise Him anyway. So when we talk about faith, faith is not manipulating God, and faith is not getting God to do what He doesn't already want to do. Rather, faith is releasing His power and getting Him to do what He already wants to do according to His will. Having said that, I want to share with you three thought-provoking questions this morning that really demand an answer. Three thought-provoking questions in the matter of extraordinary faith. Here they are. Number one, why do we need extraordinary faith? Number two, when can we expect extraordinary faith? And number three, how can we get this thing called extraordinary faith? You got your Bibles, take them and stand to your feet. And let's look at Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. I'm going to need a little water this morning. I've been battling some sinus drainage and all that stuff that everybody's is going around. So y'all bear with me. Luke chapter 17. And we're going to begin reading in verse 5 and verse 6. Luke 17, extraordinary faith for the coming year. Extraordinary faith for 2013. If you think. All right. Now keep in mind, Luke is a physician. He is no doubt a companion of the Apostle Paul and his missionary journeys. And in the 17th chapter, he begins talking about offenses and such, and then forgiveness, and then he moves right on to verse 5. Here's where we want to start, verse 5, Luke chapter 17. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Let's say that together. Increase our faith. Say it again. That is, give us the kind of faith, more faith, stronger faith. My faith is not enough. Now, we know the definition of faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen, according to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Faith is the substance, that is the hypostasis, that is the firm foundation. That is God doing what He said He's going to do. Faith is the foundation. Faith is God saying He's going to do something and He doing it. And then without faith, it's impossible to please God. So keep in mind, extraordinary faith. Now I just want to stop, pause here before we read any further. I'm convinced, beloved, in my own heart as well as yours, the Lord is wanting to do so much more in our life. Let Him. If we'll just somehow stop trusting in ourselves and saying, Lord, I want to depend on You more. I want to try. I can't fix this problem. I can't handle the situation. But Father, I'm going to somehow, some way, let go of all my rationale and all the ways that I think that things ought to go, and I'm going to put this in Your hands. Is there anybody here this morning that just you've been struggling over an issue and it's just not working out like you wanted it to, or maybe you've got problems or whatever? We'll talk about that. Today, God's wanting to start afresh a new day. Let's go back to verse 5. And the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if, notice that word if, underline that, circle that, if. That's conditional, brother. Hear me? Conditional. It don't mean it's going to happen. Conditional, meaning if. All right? Verse 6. And the Lord said, if you, He's talking to His disciples, if ye, He's talking to me, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, the smallest of seeds. Some tell us this is 1 to 2 millimeters in diameter, a very small seed, and yet it grows into a large tree, over 10 feet. So we're told. We'll talk more about that in a little while. If you have faith as a grain, a little seed of a mustard seed, you shall, look at verse 6, you shall say unto the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted into the sea, and it should obey you. This is the word of God. Nothing needs else to be said about it. Increase our faith, Lord. But let me just give you a prior warning. When we pray for God, hear me now, I know, when we pray for God to increase our faith, you know what to expect? More trials, more tests. I mean, but the other option is a no-brainer. You don't want to have less faith, because then you're going to have worse trouble than you have. Just go ahead and say, God, I know there's some things I'm going to face in 2013, and it's going to require some real, real, real mountain-moving faith. And so, God, just go ahead and increase my faith. I don't know what storms I've got. I don't know what troubles I've got. But, God, I know I'm trusting You. I'm hanging on Your promises, because all of them in Jesus are yea and in Him. There, amen. Increase our faith, Lord. Increase our faith, Lord. Stretch our faith, Lord. Strengthen our faith in You, Lord. Not faith in ourselves. Faith in Him. Faith in His word. All right, let's pray. Lord, we thank You and I praise You that, God, You brought us to such a time as this. And I confess, Lord, as I said this morning, Father, I'm weak, but You're my strength. I'm nothing, but You're my everything. And without You, I can do nothing. But Jesus, I thank You. With You, we can do all things. So we're asking now for illumination. Lord, turn the light on for us to see. Lord, quicken the word of God in our hearts. Help us, Lord, to grab a hold to the truth. You said the truth will set us free. I pray, Lord, we'll not just hear the word, but do the word. I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, the Word of God will sink deep. It'll be planted deep. The Holy Ghost will plow up the fallow ground. The Holy Ghost will plant the incorruptible, indestructible seed. And Lord, it'll bring forth fruit 160 and 90-fold. Our God, we need heaven's help. Lord, we don't know what the future holds, but praise your holy name, Father. We know who holds the future. And we bless you today. We love you, Lady. Thank you for every man, woman, boy, and girl that's here in the house of God. Your place set appointed for us, Lord, to gather ourselves together. Hear your words. Sing songs to glorify your name. Grow in your grace and knowledge. And we just ask now for, Lord, breakthroughs in the hearts of your people. Thank you now. What you're going to do, we expect you to do it, Jesus, because you said your word will not return unto you void or empty. I pray you'll encourage hearts today. Lord, those of us that are going through trials, those of us, our Father, that are, Lord, we can't see our way clearly, I pray somehow you impart to us the very faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. Lord, we recognize that it's a measure of faith, you tell us in your word, you give your people. And Lord, it comes by hearing. You said faith comes by hearing, Father, and hearing by the word of God. I pray, Lord, you'll be help us to be more people of the book this coming year, that God will fall in love with you and your word. Lord, I was just reading last night in this magazine, and it just comes to mind, 17% of Christians read their Bible on a daily basis. And Lord, I just pray somehow, God, you'll get us back to our first love. You'll get us back, our Lord, to the wells that will not run dry. And Lord, it seemed like we're preoccupied and busy. But I pray now, precious Lord, there'd be some breakthroughs in our heart today. And that, Lord Jesus, we'll trust you more and more. Oh, for grace to trust you more. And we thank you and praise you for who you are. God, thank you for who you are. And Lord, Father, I want to just ask you now. So often, if I'm not careful, and I believe, Lord, I'm speaking on behalf of other Christians here. Father, and Lord, if I'm not careful, I can just begin to look at you and depend on you for just what things I want, instead of your will for my life. And so, God, I pray now you mold us and make us, chip away the rough edges, cleanse us afresh with the washing of water by the word and the blood of the Lamb of God. And I pray you crucify the flesh. Bring us into victory, Lord, over things that besetting sins and worldliness and carnality. And thank you now for making us more than conquerors. I pray, Father, for our families. You'll, God, do some things that are needed this morning. And we thank you now and praise you. All that you do. Hallelujah. You're worthy to be praised in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. You may be seated. There are three thought-provoking questions that demand an answer today from all of us. Here they are. Number one, why do you need extraordinary faith? Jesus said to his disciples, rather his disciples said to him, increase our faith. Why do we need extraordinary faith? Increase our faith. Number two, when do we need extraordinary faith? When do we need extraordinary faith? Jesus said, if you say to the sycamine tree, he didn't say sycamore, he said sycamine. Now, I know there's some translations that translate that word sycamore. Some translate it mulberry. Don't get hung up on what kind of tree it was. Some say it had figs. It's really common in Egypt as well as common in Palestine. Don't get hung up in the tree, okay? Get hung up in what Jesus is saying about the tree, okay? There are some trees in our way. There's some trees that God's wanting to do some things and pluck them up and move them out of our ways. Number two, not only when do we expect extraordinary faith, but number three, how can we get this extraordinary faith? It's not something sensational and just for the elite. It's just something you can have and I can have, thank God, because the Lord has called us and faithful is he that called us. All right, here we go. Number one, why do we need extraordinary faith? Look at verse 5 again. And the apostles said unto the Lord, Lord, increase our faith. increase our faith. So why do we need this faith we're talking about? Three reasons. Here they are. Number one, because of our problems. Number one, because of our problems. Number two, because of God's promises. Number two, because of God's promises. And number three, because of God's power. Number one, because of our problems. That's why we all need some extraordinary faith, because of our problems. And number two, because of God's promises. And number three, because of God's power. All right? Number one, because of our problems. How many got problems? Let me see your hand. You didn't raise your hand, you're lying. Amen. We all have problems. Adam had them, we've got them, you got them, I got them. And you know what? Every once in a while, I'm convinced that the Lord, every once in a while, he just, watch this, he just gets our attention with the problems that come our way. It's kind of like that old farmer that had that old mule. And that old mule was a good mule, and that farmer said, man, he'll plow and he'll work, and he's one of the best mules I've ever had. So he took him out there to the field. And he was getting ready to plow. He was telling somebody else. He said, I want you to see this old mule. Boy, he's a good mule. He's not backwards about going forward. I mean, he's really a good mule. And so he reached down there and he grabbed a two before. The farmer did. Smacked him right upside the head, the mule. And the man said, what are you doing? The farmer said, I'm just getting his attention, okay? I just got to get his attention first. And I want you to know, beloved, and if we're not careful, we can get in this, and all of us are prone to do this, particularly after holidays have come in and Christmas, and we kind of get relaxed, and we just kind of get cozy, and we just kind of, you know, just kind of get comfortable in our Christian life, and music's playing, and there's nothing wrong with resting, and nothing wrong with peace, and nothing wrong with resting in the Lord, but if we're not careful, our faith begins to rest too, you know what I'm saying? We just begin to take things as they come. We're not on the active side, but we become on the passive side. We become more reactive to things coming our way rather than joining and cooperating with the Holy Spirit of God. And those of that notice what God does, you notice that we have to actively participate with the Lord and watch Him do some things. Join Him, if you will. So God has to get our attention. And why? Because we all got problems. Listen to me, there's hardly a day that goes by that I don't have the privilege of praying with somebody about a problem. Hardly a day. Somebody will say, Brother Pastor, will you pray me about this? Send me an email. Send me a text message. Call me on the phone. Hardly a day now. Last week, I can vouch for the fact, Christmas Day, same thing. Christmas Eve, same thing. Four, five, six different ways to pray and calls and so forth and so on. It's a privilege. Why? Because we've got problems. Everybody's got problems. We all have them. And you see, but how do we exercise this faith? I want you to follow with me, okay? I want you to follow with me because this will hopefully help you. We have these problems, but how can we see God break through and give us victory over these problems? Some problems are as a result of some kind of bad habit. Some problems are a result of things that we know we ought not to do. Paul said, that I would do, I find myself not doing it. That I don't want to do, I find myself doing it. We have problems. Some may be with anger. Some problems might be with lust. Some problems might be with jealousy. Some problems might just be a tendency to trust in ourselves rather than trust in God. We all have problems. That's the bottom line, okay? But here's what the Lord showed me this week about how to see the Lord work in our problems. Are you ready for this? This is glorious. How many of you got something for Christmas, some clothes or something like that didn't fit? Did you get anything that didn't fit? All right, or you got some kind of other thing for Christmas that you got to take back? Well, there's a connection here between the truth of what God wants to tell us in His Word and this thing of the key word here is exchange. How many know when you get something that doesn't fit, like clothes, you have to do what? Go and do what? Exchange it. All right, don't forget that word, man. Don't forget that word, exchange. Why? Because the whole Christian life is a life of exchange. And let me say it again. The whole Christian life is a life of exchange. The Lord Jesus doesn't save us and say, all right, now do the best you can. Just try the hardest you can and do the best you can, and you're going to fail and you're going to fumble. You just do the best you can. No. He came to live in us. He came to be in us and unto us all that he said he would be. He came to give us life and give it more abundantly. And watch this now. When you have an item, let's say it's this, and you need to exchange that item, well, what do? You go down to the store, right? And you go down to the store, and you don't go just anywhere to exchange. You can't just go back to the store and say, I think I'll take this bag, and I'm going to go to the shelf, and I'm going to grab this, and I'm going to walk out of the store. No, you can't do that. You got to go where? You got to go the right place to exchange that item, right? You just can't go get what you want and walk out of the store. You got to go to the part or the place, the right place, the right time, and do the right thing to say, look, this don't fit, and so I want to exchange this for this. Listen to me, beloved. We got problems, but the glorious thing about our God, I'll tell you, hallelujah. Do you know the glorious thing about our God? He said, I'll be in you, I'll be with you, I'll be upon you, I'll be Emmanuel, I'll be all that you need me to be. Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and the government of this world will be upon his shoulder. The Christian life is an exchange life. Now, don't miss this now, because it's so simple, it'll just go right over your head. It's so simple. Some of the stuff we're trying to get to happen today is we hadn't learned how to exchange. For example, you know, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, and Paul wrote to the church of Galatia, Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. How many know that? It's a good verse to memorize. Do you know that? How many know it by heart? It's a good verse to memorize. I am crucified with Christ. It's in the aorist tense. It could be translated native in some renderings. I have been crucified with Christ. Past tense. It's not something Paul said he was looking for the future. I am crucified with Christ, and it's applicable to present tense as well. Every day. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Now. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live it in this fleshly body, I live it by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. There's a total exchange right there. Now watch this. It's an exchange. My sins for his death on the cross. My death to myself. Jesus said, if you want to follow me, what do you got to do? You can't follow the Lord if you're going to have self on the throne. He'll say, you just go ahead and live your life, your fleshly life, your carnal life, and watch yourself mess up over and over again, make bad decisions, unwise decisions, slip and fall, and be led by your lust and led by your carnality. But if you want to follow me, he said, you've got to do what? Deny yourself, die to yourself, and take up a cross and follow me daily. All right? The exchange is this. Exchange my sins for his death on the cross. I can't save myself, but when I come to the Lord, I say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I know I've sinned. I've disobeyed you. I've missed the mark. All is sin and come short of the glory of God. And I exchange his life, his forgiveness, his precious blood for my sins. I say, Jesus, I put them on you. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I have a choice. Either I pay my penalty of my sin, which is the lake of fire, Revelation 20 and verse 15, whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire, or I put my sins on Jesus, and thank God I've done that and said, Jesus, I know I'm nothing, and repented and all of that. So I exchange my sins for his death. Secondly, I exchange my death for his life. When I take my place in the cross, hear me now, not what I want to do, not where I want to go. Lord, my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Oswald Chambers once said, the cardinal sin of Christians is to think that we have the right to ourselves. I read that 20 years ago, and that statement stood with me. He said, that's the cardinal of all sins for the Christian, is to think that we got the right to ourselves. But God does give us that option to, you can do run your life, do your own thing, and I'm talking about your mind too, put whatever you want to in your mind, put whatever you want to in your mind, and just act any way. Or you can say, Lord, I know that you got your life that's in me now. The Holy Spirit lives in us, 1 Corinthians 3 and 16. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption, Ephesians 4:30. Well, if this Jesus... So often we think Jesus is some abstract being way off yonder, out in outer space. No, he comes to live in us. Well, why does he want to do in me? Just to be there? No. He wants to express his life through me. He wants to release what I don't have, but what he has through my life. But that will not take place until I take my place in the cross and say, Lord, I can't, but you can, and I'm not, but you are. And so I exchange my death for his life. I exchange my works for his grace. It's all right there. I exchange my doubt, hear me, for his faith. See, I have a hard time believing God. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I have a hard time believing God. And you do too. Don't look at me like you're so spiritual. You know when you go through a trouble and trial, it's easy to have faith in God and believe in God when things are going good. But when the bottom falls out and when things aren't going good and you can't conquer that sin, and when people won't change, then when we throw up our hands in exasperation and say, Lord, I give up. And it's almost as if God says, that's exactly where I want you, right there. Give up. It's like a drowning man. You can't save a drowning man. He'll pull you under the water until what? He gives up. And there's some of us that need to stop trying and start trusting. Amen. So here, my doubt for his faith. And let me just try to, like, exchanging that item. Now, Lord, Father, I know I can't exercise faith right here. I'm so prone to walk by sight instead of by faith. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. I know we got eyes, but see, we're so prone to be in touch with everything we can see. But God says there comes an element in your life where you've got to get out of yourself and realize that I'm beyond what you can see. Y'all agree with me? In fact, Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, I'm not telling you things not in the Bible. He said, we look not at the things which are seen, which are temporal, but the things which are unseen, which are eternal. And that's why that makes a difference in a woman of faith and a man of faith versus one who's not. It comes down, it boils down to what God wants to do in your life, what you're going to trust him to do. All right, so number one, we all have problems. We've all got problems. Well, what's the key? Exchange my doubt for his faith. Lord, I've been doubting you on this. God, I don't know why I'm doubting. And God said, because in your flesh dwells no good thing. Romans 7, 18. The Lord wants us to know that he knows where we're at. He came. Watch this. He can sympathize with our weaknesses. He can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He's tempted in all things like we, and yet without sin. So he knows where you're at. He knows how it is to be tempted. He was hungry. He was thirsty. He grew tired. He knows all of that. I'm glad that he became a man. And therefore, he can relate to us. Yet he was a man, but yet he was God. So what about this extraordinary faith? Our problems. We got them. Lord, I need to increase my faith. Lord, I hadn't. Now listen to me. Some of us in the house of God tonight, or this morning rather, are thinking this. Well, maybe that's just what it is. I just need to increase my faith. It's not like just turn on a light switch and say, boom, I just say that word, increase my faith. It's a process of, and to try to explain it as adequate as I am, revelation, appropriation, cooperation. God tells us what he'll do in his word. You take him at his word or you don't. Then we bring our life, our mind, our will, our emotion under the authority of the Word of God. We confess our inadequacy to do it. We ask for Holy Ghost power. And then, thank God, Holy Ghost power is available right then when we, by faith, trust God in his Word. If you don't believe that, just read the book of Romans chapter 6. God says this, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Romans 6:11 says, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Colossians 3, verse 1 through 4 says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sit at the right hand of God. Set your affection for the things above, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Galatians 5 and 16 following, walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The flesh lusts against the Spirit, the Spirit against the flesh. They're in total opposition to one another, that you may not do the things that you please. Not only that, Romans 13, 14, Paul said, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Galatians 5, 24, it's all in the Bible. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with his affections and lusts. So again, the exchange, Lord, I need your strength for my weakness. I need your wisdom for my finite, limited knowledge. All right? So that's the problems we have. Now, I need extraordinary faith, and you need extraordinary faith. Why? Because not only of our problems, number two, God's promises. Do you realize how many promises are Him? They're in for you. You can have them if you want them. You can have them. God says, it's all for you. You can have them. Do you want them? You don't have to have them. You can keep, we can be satisfied with the least that God has for us. Or we can say, on the other hand, no, I don't want to be a nominal status quo Christian. How many want God to do some great things in your life? Not just the nominal Christianity. Well, what's that going to entail? It's going to entail some things that the Bible makes clear. God's promises. For example, Psalm 1. Psalm 1 says what? Blessed is a man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord. His law doth he meditate both day and night. Here's the promise. He should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Who? That man that has a holy heartbeat for God. Blessed is a man, happy is a man, that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. He's not listening to the world, what the world's saying about stuff. He's taking his counsel from the Word of God. He has a holy heart beat for God. He has a holy heart ache for sin. And God said, this man, he'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth his fruit in his season. How many want some fruit? God says, here it is, right here. How about Psalm 23? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not. A little boy said, the Lord is my shepherd. He knows my wants. He does know our wants. Amen. But here's the deal. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still water. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, is that something for the believers? Is that just David playing on a harp? Is that just David way back there thousands of years ago? No, no. It's for the believers. The Lord is my Jehovah Rohi. He's my shepherd. First, there's perfect satisfaction. He knows my wants. Second, there's perfect direction. He leads me beside still waters. Perfect direction. Third, there's perfect restoration. He restores my soul. Fourth, there's perfect protection. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Fifth, there's perfect preparation. He sets a table before us in the presence of my enemies. Six or five, whatever it is, there's perfect celebration. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. All right, take some of these promises. The reason that God wants us to have extraordinary faith is not only our problems, but our promises. What about over there in Psalm 27:1? The Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? How many of you have been fearful these days? You've been afraid about that health issue, hadn't you? You've been afraid about that economy and being able to catch up on your bills, hadn't you? The Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? How about Psalm chapter 30, verse 5? Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Let's say that together. Weeping may endure for a night. Do y'all know this? Let's say it again. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh. Do you believe that? God says the best is last. Not only that, but look over in Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength of every present help and trouble. And though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, and though the waters thereof roar and are troubled, and though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, there is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. I'm telling you, God's saying, here's one promise, after another principle in His Word. That's where extraordinary faith comes, beloved. How about Psalm 84:11? The Lord thy God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. If you get a birthday card, you probably see that that's the verse that I like to sign on birthday cards. The Lord thy God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing. You hear me? No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. I don't know about you, but you can be having a day that's not going exactly like you want, and you meditate on Psalm 84 and say, hallelujah. God, you said no good thing will you hold from them that walk uprightly. I just believe what your word says. Oh, get it? Amen? Psalm 103 says, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Watch it. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases? Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfies thy mouth with good things so thy youth is renewed like the eagles? Oh, listen, beloved. How about the New Testament? Are there promises in the New Testament? Are there ways to build your faith in the New Testament? Oh, yeah. Romans chapter number 8, Paul said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril. I know this is a lot at one time. I know we've had Christmas. I know sometimes it's hard to get our intellectual faculties concentrating. But I'm convinced when I share with you the Word of God, it will not return to you void. I can tell you stories and all of that you forget. But one thing that God honors is His Word. And that's what we need today is the Word of God. And that's why I know you're tired, I'm tired, and we're all tired, we've had a busy week, but that, I'm convinced, the Word of God is where you're going to build that faith. So even though you may not catch all of this, I suggest you buy the tape and listen to the tape. It'll bring back the Word of God. I'm convinced that's where the process of the renewing of the mind takes place. The Lord says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In Romans 12, 2. And it's that process that God uses. So, how about Romans 8:35? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? Nay, and all these things were more than conquerors. You know what Paul said? Philippians 1:21? For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He said, I'm in a strait betwixt two. I have a desire to part to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, for your sakes I remain. Listen to me. You want some good promises to overcome the world? You want some good promises to stand on? See, we don't have that might and that power by ourselves. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts, Zechariah 4, 5, and 6. You want that might and power? How about turning to, you don't have to turn there, but 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And who is he that overcomes the world but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God? I'm talking about a promise. I'm struggling with the world, and man, I know you're struggling with the world. I know the world's pulling on you all the time. Hello. I know the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, and the roaring lion is roaring all the time. But I'm convinced that God gives us some ammunition to go out there in that old world, tomorrow in your job, tomorrow out in your family, and you leave, and you go out here as salt and light in a dark world. God equips his people with the Word of God. He builds us up in the Word. That's what Paul said. The Word of God is able to build you up. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. You talk about a great promise. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And God says, I want you to know you have eternal life. Jude, verse 24 and 25. Now to him that's able to keep you from falling, present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, honor, majesty, and power both now and forevermore. First, I'm talking about problems. I'm talking about problems in the Scripture. Not problems in the Scripture, but problems that we face that the Scripture alludes to. And then now there's some promises. The promises. I love what a little boy said. Somebody said, this little boy said, son, have you ever seen God? Have you ever touched God? This boy had just been gloriously saved, and he said, no, I can't say that I have. He said, how do you know there is a God? I like what this little boy said to the answer. He said, it's kind of like when I go down there fishing. I throw my line out there in the water. Can't see the fish. I don't touch the fish, but when they get on my line, I can feel them. I can feel them. I want to tell you something. If you can't feel the power of a living God, you're not saved. Power. Can you explain peace that comes over an individual when we go through certain circumstances and the world doesn't have any answers? Money can't buy it. It's just the peace of God. Glory! Well, how do I explain it? It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. That's the only way I know how to explain it. Well, what about strength to do what I know I can't do on my own? Forgive somebody when my flesh says, don't do it. How can I do it? It's the power of God. It's the exchange life. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. God's real. Like that old song used to say, my God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. He's real. And other ways that God just, the Holy Ghost of God is in us, working in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Man, that ought to encourage some of you to know you're not alone. Oh, bless the Lord. Number two, not only why do we need extraordinary faith? Number two, when do we need extraordinary faith? You see the text? Lord, increase our faith. Jesus said, if you have faith as what? A grain of a mustard seed. Wonder why the Lord said that. If you have faith as the grain of a mustard seed. Now there's a couple things about this thing that you don't want to miss. Number one, when a seed is put in the ground, what does it do? I can't hear you. It grows, doesn't it? Is your faith growing? See, it doesn't just sit there and do nothing. And James says there's a couple of kinds of different faiths. There's a dead faith that has no fruit at all. And then there's a living faith. Tell me, if the Lord did some inspection, fruit inspection in your life, would he see some fruit? Would he see living faith? Jesus said, if you have faith as the grain of a mustard seed, you shall say to this sycamore tree. Now, those of you that are Bible scholars know that in Matthew chapter 17, Jesus said, if you say to this mountain. Over here in Luke chapter 17, he says, if you say to this sycamore tree, or sycamore tree, or mulberry tree, as some translate it. The point is, not the tree, but here's what the Lord showed me about this thing. I can imagine Jesus is probably standing with the disciples, and he's talking with them. And he's probably standing next to or close to a sycamore tree. You know, he's telling them about, they come to him. Now listen now, the disciples had been out. They had cast out demons. They had preached the word of God, healed bodies. You can read that in Luke chapter 9. Luke 9 comes before 17, right? They'd done all this stuff. But then they see this master of the sea. They see this man with supernatural power. And they say, Lord, I recognize it. I don't have it. You got it. And they say, Lord, increase our faith. And then in my mind's eye, I can't prove this, but I'm sanctified imagination. Jesus probably looks at a tree and says, if you say to this, if you have faith just as a little bit of seed, if you don't have to be much, 1 millimeter, 2 millimeters in diameter, if you got faith like that, you got to plant it. It's got to be sown. Then it grows. Sow it. Grow it. If you have faith as a mustard seed, grain of a mustard seed, you say to this sycamore tree, be uprooted, plucked up. How many know that would be a miracle for a tree just to be plucked up and cast in the sea? But you know what I got to thinking about this, beloved? I've been riding back and forth to the hospital up there at Crawford Lawn this week, along the last 4 weeks. I've noticed off the side of the road, they've got some bulldozers. They're doing all kinds of construction on I-20. You know what I've noticed? They've got some bulldozers. They got some machines out there. You know what those machines are doing? Doing what? Pushing down trees by the roots. Now, wait a minute. If man can make a piece of equipment, and man can drive that piece of equipment and knock down a tree by the roots, surely God can uproot a tree without man's help. It's not hard to believe. Now here's the application. You ready for it? What kind of sycamore trees have you got and have I got in my life? They're impeding your progress. They're standing right in the way, and you know what they are. God's already shown you what they are. And you're saying, oh God, increase my faith. Increase my faith. Jesus said, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, say to this tree, be uprooted, cast in the midst of the sea. Well, when can I expect this kind of extraordinary faith? I'll tell you when I can't expect it. You look at the Old Testament, and you know what you find? You find Abel believed God. He believed God had a better place. He had that faith that God had a better place for him. He being dead, yet still speaking. You look at the Old Testament, you find out Enoch had pursuing faith. He walked with God. God took him. You find out Noah had protective faith, built an ark when there wasn't even any rain. Where can I have this kind of extraordinary faith? When can I expect it? When I, like Abraham, he had that kind of faith that believes in the promises of God. He staggered not at the promises of God. Romans 4, verse 21 and 21. Staggered not the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Knowing that his promise, he was well able to perform. And then Jacob had faith in God to change his life. You can go all through the Old Testament and find Joseph had faith in God. He changed his position. Moses had faith in God, and God gave him a better purpose. All through the scripture, Joshua, you talk about a great picture of faith. Joshua's standing there on the Jordan River. God says, go on across it, son. And he's not building a bridge. He's not getting in canoes. It's water overflowing the river banks. It's at springtime. And God said, go on over it. And Joshua, you know, he could have called his architects and his engineers and said, wait a minute, boys. You know, we're supposed to go over this thing, but the thing's full. How you figure that out? What did he do? He just had to believe God. And he stepped on out in the water. Why? Because God told him to. Now, if God would have told him not to step out in water, he'd have sank to the bottom and probably gotten wet, amen? But he stepped out. You look at the New Testament, there's numerous, I don't even have time to go through them all. The Syrophoenician woman had a daughter, needed to be healed. Jesus said, thy faith has made her whole. The centurion who had a servant who needed to be healed, Jesus spoke the word and said, I don't even need to come under your house, your roof, your servant's healed. The nobleman, we could go over and over again. Question, what about your faith? Are you trusting God to do something that you know out of yourself you can't do? Are you? What is it today that God wants you to trust Him? Believe Him? Then last but not least, not only why do we need extraordinary faith, when we can expect extraordinary faith, thirdly, how do we get this extraordinary faith? That's what I want to know. Well, brother, I'm glad about all this message and all about all these who believe. I want to know how I can get it. Amen. How many want to know how you can get it? Amen. Lord, I want this kind of faith. Peter says the testing of your faith being much more precious than of gold. And I don't want you to mislead you to make you think that it's easy believism that's going to do the job. It's not going to get it. The Bible says tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Character God's interested in. James says, consider it all joy, brethren, when you fall into various trials, knowing the testing of your faith produces endurance. So, how can I get this extraordinary faith? Four ways. Don't miss it, and I'll be done. Four ways. Don't miss it, and I'll be done. Four ways. Don't miss it, and I'll be done. Number one, look up. Well, take that back. Look back. Number one, look back, okay? Let's do that one first. Look back, look up, look in, and look out. Four ways. Look back, look up, look in, and look out. First, we look back. We look back. Job said it this way, Job 23:10. He knows my ways, and when he tried me, I shall come forth like gold. Job is looking back on his life. Here's what I want you to remember. How many can look back on 2012 and see that God has brought you through some troubled storms? God has laid bare His mighty arm of power. The Lord answered the prayer. How many can look back? Maybe it wasn't 2:12. Maybe it was 2:11. Maybe it was 2:10. But you can look back and see that God brought you where you're at today. That's important, beloved, that we look back and say, hey, He's the same yesterday, day, and forever. He did it then. He can do it now. I can't hear you. Look back. Look back. I told Brother Sonny at the hospital on Friday night, I said, Brother Sonny, I said, you really do know that God's up to a testimony out of this thing. God's up to a testimony out of this thing. I sat there, and believe it or not, I sung to Brother Sonny. Can you believe it? He couldn't go anywhere. I said, bless God, nobody was in the room. I started singing. A nurse came and shut the door. What does that tell you? Man. But really, I believe, beloved, and if the Lord's will, you're going to see Brother Sonny sitting here again, and mark it down. If the Lord wills, you're going to hear him stand up and tell a testimony of faith of being on a breathing machine for 4 weeks. Why does God allow that stuff to go on? Because the test of faith turns into a testimony of faith. Look back and see where God's brought you. God's brought you through a whole lot of stuff. Look back, number one. Number two, look up. First, there is celebration. Then you look up. Look up. Why do I need to look up? Because I've already been mentioning it, not only celebration, but transformation. You see, how can I get this kind of faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And we look up. We look up and say, Lord, I can't, but you can. My mind is transformed by the Word of God. I look back and see what God has done. But I look up and say, praise God. I know, Jesus, you're with me always. And then I look in. I move from celebration, transformation. I look in, evaluation. Some of us need to do some inventory right now, don't we? Do some inventory. I talked to my nephew at Christmas time, and he works at a plant up there in North Carolina. He's an accountant. He said, this time of the year, they do inventory. He said, it's a lot of hours. They do. How many know what I mean when I say inventory? How many have done some spiritual inventory lately? Have you done some spiritual inventory lately? Have you looked in and said, God, what have you been doing? And what have I been trusting to do? And what have I been praying about? And how have you been answering prayer? Let's do a little inventory today. We look back, we look up, we look in, and then we look out. From celebration to transformation to evaluation and then to expectation. We look out. Say, Lord, increase our faith. I'll close with a story and I'll be done. A lady was sitting in her house. She was sitting in her house. She couldn't pay her rent. She was behind on her rent for several months, facing some real hard times like some people are facing today. And all of a sudden, she heard a knock at the door. She said, who could that be? Said, I don't think I'm going to go to the door. And then when the person left, she discovered the person who was knocking on her door had enough money for that month's rent, plus all the other months, plus some advance month's rent. But she didn't answer the door. God's knocking on your door. He's knocking on our door today. You going to answer it? Are you going to miss out? You're going to miss out what God says, I've got this for you. Don't miss out on it. Are you going to answer the door? Are you going to answer the door today? Let's stand to our feet.